It's very nice for me to be in Vancouver. As has already been expressed by Brother Mark. I was thinking as I looked at the brethren behind me, I was thinking, well, perhaps I'm maybe not the most gifted. And I was also thinking, well, maybe I'm not the most knowledgeable, but I am the youngest. So deal gently with the young man. Turn with me then to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. Verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now turn with me to chapter 14, please. The same gospel, and chapter 14. The context of these passages will likely be well known, and so I'll just read the point that I want. Verse number 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Chapter 17, please. Verse number 1. Matthew's Gospel 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face is shine as the sun. A final reference in the last chapter of the Gospel, Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we look to the Lord for this further blessing upon his word. Now, one of the subjects that our brother Malcolm has developed for us is this. The subject of Elijah. And he mentioned the fact that there was a moment in the life of Elijah when he was taken up to the mountaintop. I think, as I look over the audience here this afternoon, that every one of us has known the valley experience. We have known those times of difficulty and times of tears. But let me just say, for every valley experience, there is a mountaintop experience. Think of the men that God had on the mountaintop. You'll think of the man Moses. We read in the scriptures of at least 5 occasions when Moses was brought to the mountain. Exodus 20 is well known. Deuteronomy, the last chapter, is very well known. God took him up into Mount Nebo, showed him all the land of Canaan, and then God buried his servant. Well did the old poet say, in that land of Moab, he buried his servant by that land of Moab. I've forgotten the poet. You may be pardoned. Anyway, we think of Moses on the mountaintop. I move through the scriptures, and I see the man Caleb, and we read of him there in Joshua 14. And Caleb, a man of 85 years of age, and he says to Joshua, Give me this mountain, a man on the mountaintop. We have thought of the man Elijah, 1 Kings 18, and the prophets of Baal, working with the power of God and defeating the enemies of God. I come through into the book of the Revelation, and I see John. And John tells us in Revelation 21, he says, he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and to a high mountain. But in Matthew's Gospel here, with the experience of the Lord Jesus, so many times over in Matthew, Matthew tells us of Christ, and he says, he went up into the mountain. I can see here spiritual experiences in the life of the Lord Jesus, which may help us on our heavenward path. I think in Matthew chapter 5, we have there the principles of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus, he brings the disciples apart, takes them up into the mountain, and he begins, and he gives them the principles of the coming kingdom. You will know Matthew is the gospel of the king. I think in Matthew's gospel, there is an offer of the kingdom. Right through Matthew, the kingdom is offered time and time again. Until in Matthew's gospel chapter 12, the nation turn away. And the nation of Israel says, his works are done by the power of Beelzebub. And they then turn from the person of Christ. And the kingdom is taken from them. And yet here in Matthew 5, we have principles. The principles of the kingdom. As I look at this, there's two things that stand out. We could spend a long time dealing with it. But we're given this. The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. Individual preservation. He then tells us something further. He says, ye are the light of the world. This is not individual. And it's not really preservation. But when he says, ye are the light of the world, it's corporate. And I think it speaks of his presence. One, preservation. The other, his presence in the midst of his people. And here we are today, and God tells us, brethren and sisters, we are the salt of the earth. God has placed us here. Why are we here? We have a preserving effect in the world and upon the ungodly. As I look over the company, I address my own heart. And I have to say occasionally, I meet those who are not saved. And I often question, do I tell them? Do I look them in the face and tell them there is a Savior? You know, my friend, this will preserve them and it will preserve me. In the midst of the darkness of an ungodly world, the more I tell of Christ, it will act as a preservative even in my life. Pardon the personal reference. But just after I was saved, most of you will know that we work with coal. The black stuff. It burns. Well, at least some of it. Well, we worked with coal anyway. And my father sent me to a door to collect some money. Pounds. You work with dollars. I remember going to the door, and I'd been at school with the chap I was going to. And I knocked the door very timorously. And I thought to myself, if Dennis comes to the door, are you going to tell him that you've trusted Christ and you're saved? And immediately into my mind came this thought, well, his mother might come, or maybe his father. Then I'd get away without telling. But of course you know the story, Dennis came to the door. And I took the money from him first, and made sure I got that. And then I looked at him and I said, Dennis, and I was trembling. I said, Dennis, just this summer, I trusted the Lord Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. And he put out his hand. Well, he says, shake hands. So did I. You know, dear brethren and sisters, we have a preserving effect, and our testimonies will be preserved by the confession of Christ. Looking at the ungodly, telling them what we have, what a Savior we have. We have a Christ who died for us. And he's coming for us. And we need to tell those around us of our glorious Lord. Ye are the salt of the earth, preservation in a godless world. Ye are the light of the world. The Savior says, it's like a candle which is placed in a lampstand. It cannot be hid. Now you will know we can trace the lampstand back and go to the book of Exodus. And if you use the lampstand in Exodus as a picture of the assembly, well, that's fine by me. But you know, I don't think really that's the issue there. In the book of Exodus, when we read of the lampstand, it really prefigures Christ. Christ, the light of all heaven. The glory of God. But here we have a lampstand, just like Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And can I say, John banished to Patmos. And from that island, he got a vision of the glory of Christ. And he saw also 7 golden lampstands. Let me just say, dear brother, dear sister, God expects you to have a place in the local assembly. God expects you and I to be found in a company of saints, gathered unto the precious name of our Lord Jesus outside the camp. Listen to Hebrews 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. As I look over the audience, and I ask you, do you find a place in an assembly? The place of the name, where God would have us gather, where the Lord Jesus is. Brother and sister, let me encourage you today. There is a place. He called me out, the man with garments dyed. I knew his voice, my Lord that crucified. He called me out, and though I could not stay, I had to follow him, had to obey, and there is a place. Ye are the light of the world, a lampstand which is set on a hill. It cannot be hid. The principles of the kingdom. I come very quickly to Matthew 14, another mountaintop experience. Not so much the principles of the kingdom. I see there prayer and the kingdom. The Lord Jesus, he's been dealing with the multitude. He leaves the multitude and he leaves the disciples. The old preachers used to call this the chapter of the four truths. We have the multitude. We have the altitude. He went up into the mountain. We have the solitude. He was alone. And we have the attitude. He bowed in prayer. And as he was there in the mountain, the disciples were in the boat. And the winds were contrary. And it was dark. You know, there's maybe someone here. And sailing has become difficult. And the winds are contrary. And in your experience, maybe it's just darkness. And you wonder what is the way out. You know what our brother Malcolm has been telling us? There's a man in the glory. This is just another picture of that. A man who went up. He left those disciples in Acts 1. And the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, he will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. And let me tell you, there's one, and he's interceding. He knows the pathway. He knows the darkness. He knows the difficulties. He knows what you're undergoing. And he's interceding for you. Let me just turn the picture a moment. The Lord Jesus was praying. So often we find the Lord Jesus bowing in prayer. Think of Luke's gospel. Luke tells us when he was baptized, he prayed. Luke says on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was praying. So many times Luke tells us the dependent man bowed in prayer. And I ask you, dear brother, dear sister, did you leave home this morning without praying? You mean to tell me you didn't ask for God's preservation? We have the power of prayer that we can lean on. And we have a God who will answer our cries. It was George Mueller of Bristol. The story comes to me. George Mueller of Bristol, he wanted to buy a new home for the orphanage. He went to a solicitor downtown and he expressed his wish.
The man was an atheist. He hated God. And he looked at George Mueller, and he says, "Mueller, I never sell this place to you. You'll never get it." And George Mueller left. A few nights later, the same man was with a few friends. And he said to those solicitors, he said, "Well, I had that fool Mueller in the other night, and he wanted to buy this building for his orphanage." And one of those says, "Well, did you sell it to him?" "No, of course not," he says. "No, I didn't want him to have it." "Well," says his friend, "if I were you, go back and ask for it. Go back to him and tell him you'll sell it." Because he says he'd go to his God and he'd pray. And he'd get it for nothing. We have a God, brethren and sisters, and he's able to answer prayer. And there was a Savior, and upon a mountaintop, he prayed. And just at the darkest hour, just at the moment when the disciples thought everything's lost, the Savior came down and he walked on the water. And the Savior said, "It is I. Do not afraid." Prayer in the kingdom. I come to chapter 28. We could have looked at chapter 24, the prophecy of the kingdom. But I want you to look with me at chapter 28. And the Lord Jesus, he's about to go. And he brings the disciples into the mountain. Calls them to the mountaintop. And he says, "All power." One of the four laws of this chapter. "All power is given unto me." There might be a dear mother here today. Maybe someone whose heart's breaking. And you've a boy who's not saved. And you're wondering, will he ever get saved? I can recall I was on a week's holiday in the Canary Islands. And I decided to phone home. My wife was in the apartment. And I thought I'd phone home. You know, I should say you've had some great Irish preachers here. But thank God it works vice versa. Two men came from Canada and came to Coleraine to preach the gospel. And I had a brother who was attending those days, not saved. And I called home, and he answered the telephone. And his first words to me were these. He said, "Would you guess who's got saved? 26 years of age, not saved." I thought we would never see him saved. And his girlfriend was concerned. And I said, "Robert, Jenny's got saved." "No," he said, "no, I have got saved." And brethren and sisters, I stood at a swimming pool. And you know what came to me? "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." Dear sister, don't give up. Keep praying for that boy. You dear fathers, who with breaking hearts are seeking the salvation of children, listen, there is a Savior, and all power is his. You know the next thing? It's not all power, it's all nations. Unto all nations. And someone says, "You're preaching the gospel to all nations." How would you ever square that with the doctrine of election? You know, brethren, I don't try. But I tell you what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said, "Don't stumble over the doctrine of election. Preach the gospel to every creature." And he said, "If you see someone saved who wasn't chosen, God will forgive you anyway." Listen, as we come to preach the gospel, let us preach a message unfettered that can go forth for Jew or Gentile, that can reach to the highest and to the lowest. And in the words of William Blaine, I think it was, "Where there is many sinners more, as grains of sand on ocean shore, for all the precious blood was shed, for all the ransom price was paid." And the Savior said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations." And you know, God even looked down, and he remembered the Irish too. And someone landed on Irish shores and for the first time preached the gospel. Souls were saved. All power. All nations. What else do I see? He tells us, teaching them to obey all things. Brethren and sisters, and I say this afternoon, I have no right to stand here and tell you this, that I haven't put it into practice. God ever help us to bow to the truth of Holy Scripture. What is taught to us? God give us that submissive spirit that we might bow and say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What the last? All power, all nations, teach them to observe all things. And he says, lo, I am with you all the day. You know how Matthew's gospel commenced? Matthew's gospel commenced with a child born. And they said, call his name Emmanuel. Do you know what it means? God with us. Matthew's gospel closes. How does it close? Lo, I am with you all the days, preaching in the kingdom. Let us go forth unfettered, brethren. Let us preach again the glories of Christ, for he is with us, and he will be with us all the days. I left out one chapter, Matthew 17. The Savior on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's not so much the principles of the kingdom. It's not even here prayer in the kingdom. It's not the prophecy of the kingdom, chapter 24. It's not even preaching in the kingdom. What have we in Matthew 17? I believe here we have the picture of the kingdom. You know, there are many times in the life of Christ when we are given a picture. Think of them at the moment of his baptism, going down under the waters of Jordan. Do you know what it previewed? It previewed the moment when at Calvary he would be baptized. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened until it be accomplished? I think of the moment when he rode into the city on the colt, the foal of an ass. And you know, it was only a preview. Zechariah 9 will yet be fulfilled. Revelation 19, when he comes in splendor, riding upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And what about Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17? He stands on a mountain top, and he's transfigured. Elijah is there. Moses is there. Moses, the former of Israel. Elijah, the transformer of Israel. Christ, the reformer of Israel, stand on the mountain with Peter and James and John. And the glory shines forth. No, brethren and sisters, it's only a picture of the moment when his feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. When he comes in glory. When he will set up his kingdom. When he will reign forever. And Christ will be honored there. Let me tell you, dear believers, maybe with downcast hearts today, there is a day coming when he will be manifest, as we heard this morning. He will sit on the throne of his father David. Is it any wonder the hymn writer said, I cannot tell how all the land shall worship, when at his bidding every storm is stilled? Or who can tell how great the jubilation, when all the hearts of men with love are filled? But this I know, the skies shall ring with rapture, and myriad, myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven, and heaven to earth shall answer. At last the Savior of the world is king. Brethren and sisters, this is our Savior. This is the one who died for us. This is the one who has given everything so that we might be his. And we're not prepared to give anything to him. We owe everything to him. I trust that the ministry continues, that our hearts will be touched, and Christ will be exalted.